You heard it here first, folks. Elise does not care about her dead relatives.
It's not that. It's just Wadwell, you know.
Hakuna Matata.
Right. Live and let die.
So
I was trying to come up with another Bond episode, but I got nothing. No.
I don't think Hakuna Matata is a Bond episode.
Yeah.
It's the newest one.
What do you think that's from?
James Bond in Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase. Oh, man. All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here. Still pretty successful.
Oh, and we're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. There we go. Got it all in there.
Yep. You know, I didn't know who was here in order to go exploring.
Yeah. You know, behind the pod,
we're exploring new ways.
We're back together, all three of us in the studio.
Ooh, it's been a minute.
It's been a while. I know we were all together last week, but we pre-recorded that episode.
Yeah.
So it's been a while since we were all here. So
we pre-recorded that one in like September.
I know.
It feels like
a long time ago.
Yeah. I do want to say, I know we talked a little bit about Halloween last week, but
we did.
Elise, your family costume was truly
it was strong,
unbelievable.
It was a
good
one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
For those of you who missed it, they had the whole Star Wars theme from Empire Strikes Back. No,
Return
of the Jedi. Yeah. Sorry, Return of the Jedi. I know. I'm just going to stop talking.
Okay, in fairness, I had to look it up to make sure I was saying the right movie as well.
So your husband, Michael, was a Han in, not Kryptonite, what's the?
Carbonite.
Wow.
This is going really well for me.
You should keep going with this.
Keep explaining Star Wars to us.
Let's see.
Yeah, so Jabba's palace.
So then all the guys wearing the red shirts, they died first, right?
Oh, boy.
Patrick, take it away.
Yes. And at least you were Bosch, which was the name of the bounty hunter who is actually Princess Leia in disguise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is Bosch actually named in the movie? Or is this
just
like a script thing?
I think you just have to be real nerdy.
Okay.
I don't think it's probably named in the movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been a while since I've seen Return of the Jedi, I'm going to be honest. But I don't think
I'll just have to fix that.
Yeah. Go home and watch it.
Podcast.
All right, let's pause this.
Right.
And then Gray was Chewbacca.
She was Chewbacca.
She made a great Chewbacca. Her Chewbacca noise was not on point, but excellent.
She tried very hard.
It sounded nothing like Chewbacca, but it was awesome to
really
watch her try.
She put her all
she
into
did.
It.
But the highlight truly is your husband wearing basically an air mattress and waddling around.
It was solid. Yeah.
Looking like he's frozen.
Yep. Michael, if you're out there, super extra dad points. You did
thank
great.
You. Yes.
Incredible.
That was a last minute addition because we didn't think he was going to be here at all.
Oh,
he
okay.
On a business trip. And then we found out the week of Halloween that he was going to be here. So I said, okay, we're ordering you a costume.
I got this.
This is happening.
Yes. The moment I saw y'all at our trunk or treat, I just immediately started laughing. It was very funny.
Yeah. That's almost popped it on a bush on the walkover.
Oh,
the
no.
Car.
That would have been tragic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then he would have been wearing a deflated air mattress.
Carbonite deflated.
Like just like draped over him. All right. Well, we're all back together again.
We are. Yep.
Yes. And some exciting news.
Do, 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 do. Oh, no.
That for you.
Oh, for me?
You've been elected.
Yeah.
Called is what we like to say.
Whatever.
Been called.
It's the same.
Same thing.
Nope. Not the same thing.
The church did an election.
They did a vote. They did not. An election implies there are candidates between whom you are choosing.
Right.
Oh, he just wants to be very clear that he was the only candidate.
That's right. I was the only option.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Yeah. So I have been officially called as the senior pastor here at Lord of Life.
That's exciting.
My voice got weirdly high when I said that.
You started work 2 days ago?
Today is day two.
Okay.
Because Mondays are my day off. So, today is day two.
So, well, when this podcast was released, you've done it for a week.
That's right.
Yeah. Hopefully.
How am I doing, Patrick?
Not too bad.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
On a scale of one to I want to quit yesterday.
You know, our staff meeting was different. So, you know.
That's true.
You know, time will tell, good or bad. I'll give it some time to, share my full opinions.
Ease
on
into
it.
Okay. It's fine.
And I'm sure everybody really wants to know, what are y'all staff meetings
that's right.
like?
Yeah.
It's the talk of the town.
Riveting.
What happens?
Yeah. But here's some news. This is one that...
Wait, that wasn't our news?
No, that was not our news.
Oh.
This is a story that I know...
I'm not funny enough to be our news story.
...circled around for multiple things. And you may have already seen it, listeners, and Elise and Pastor David. But I love it so much.
Okay.
It brings me so much joy.
Have we said it already on the podcast?
No.
Okay.
I wouldn't redo. Come on.
I wouldn't put it past him.
I mean, I may redo because
I
forgot.
So much, yeah.
But... lost hiker didn't answer rescue calls because he didn't recognize the number.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
I love it.
I like it a lot.
It's so great.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so we have in Colorado, a hiker went on for a little hike, got off the main trail,
and wandered
around for 24 hours.
Oh my
God. Yeah, also not good.
And when it was discovered that by, I guess, friends and family, that this unidentified hiker was not returning, multiple attempts to contact the subject via their cell phone were made by, like, Parks Department, Rescue Squad, mm-hmm. and the hiker did not answer them because he did not recognize the number.
Yep.
Or she, I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That's How do you feel great. About this?
I think it's great. It's topped only by the one that I heard about this weekend. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but there was someone who was being chased by the police and got lost in the woods and got caught because they called the police to help them get found. They didn't know where they were, and so they called the police.
Oopsie. Yeah. Oops, I forgot. I'm a fugitive.
That's right.
Yeah, I love it so
yeah.
much.
Yeah.
And I also like... It just speaks to me.
Right. Yeah. Like, I mean, he's had one too many spam calls about his warranty.
Sure.
Yeah. You're off the woods.
Microsoft.
No.
Yeah.
Trying to navigate by like where side of the tree the moss grows on or whatever.
The wind. Yeah. The stars. Yeah.
And like, does that mean east or west? I don't know.
Yeah. Just went real Bear Grylls is what happened. Right.
And they're like, oh, this is just a guy trying to get me to sign up for a new warranty or. Yeah,
but he still had battery in his phone. How was he that lost? Open up your maps, man. Like.
Maybe
at least it would point you in the right direction.
I don't know. He just wanted to be by himself.
I'm not saying that Google can be like, you know, you have 5 minutes until the turn in the mountain or whatever. Like, I'm sure it can't do that, but you could at least say like, oh, you're here, and I needed to be 10 miles the other direction, like that.
So let me ask you, just in general,
yeah,
phone call number that's not saved, do you answer or not?
What face are you making?
We got a dejected look
like
over here.
Real ashamed.
I feel real guilty when I don't answer.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do.
I like never answer.
So
even
never.
If I know you, I'm like,
I will say here, like, I know the Houston. So I have a area code that's not a Houston area code.
Same.
Because I, family plans are great even when they're
mine is
with your parents from 20 years ago.
Oh. Hey. This is the admission right here. That was the shamed look.
Don't hate it. Oh, so I don't have an area code from here. So I do make a point to answer area codes around Houston because, there's a good chance that it's someone from the congregation who's trying to call me. I do make a point to answer those. But I've figured out like where the area codes are around Dayton and stuff. I'm like, no, I'm not going to answer that because I know the people. I know the numbers that are going
to
call me from Dayton that I don't have in my phone. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say if it's like my daughter's school or like the vet or something like that.
Yeah, but that may be, is that a saved number
or
a recognized number?
But like it says where they're from, calling from most of the time.
Yeah. Get that caller ID action going. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's a number I don't recognize, they're going to voicemail.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, but you're also not going to listen to that voicemail. So how effective
is
that?
Probably true. No, mine, I'll be able to read it.
Oh, okay.
Like,
I don't actually have to hear anyone speak.
Right.
Yeah, because it could be somebody I don't know, and I don't want to answer that. Or worse, somebody I do know that's not in my phone.
Right.
Like, I don't want. There's a reason they're not in my phone. Like,
exactly.
And I might get sucked into a conversation I do not want to have. I also hate talking on the phone.
Yes.
I think it's kind of like the, whatever social, whatever issues I might have. Talking on the phone is misery.
Uh-huh.
Like I need to see somebody's face to know how to talk to them.
I think it's the most awkward form of communication because in person you have all these visual cues, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or you can just walk away.
What does this visual cue mean?
Yeah. And in text you can think about like what you're saying and you can frame it up.
But
and
in text so much can be misinterpreted because
it
you can't hear the tone in the text.
It can, but that's why we have emojis.
But
and gifts.
But then someone thinks that LOL means lots of love instead of laugh out loud. And
nobody
then you're just
but like your grandmother thinks.
Stuff. I love my grandmother.
I'm sure she's nice.
she's incredible.
Yeah. Anyway.
But also, yeah, you're probably right.
But even then, I'd probably answer it if I was lost. Especially if they're like...
If no other reason to say, hey, car warranty guy, can you call the police?
Right.
Multiple phone calls from the same number. You'd probably be like,
this might be
important on
Maybe.
Some level. You know, that is truly amazing.
Yeah.
Dedication to the cause. Good for them. But they were found.
They managed to make it back to their vehicle the next day.
Oh, they just wanted to do it all by themselves.
That's right. I don't need your help.
Yes.
Or, alternatively, they were actually disposing of a body.
Maybe.
And also, they didn't want your help.
Right.
Twist ending.
Right.
That's the horror story author right there.
Right.
She's ready to go.
Yeah.
I got this
we
one
We did
back.
That podcast a couple weeks ago.
Just
we
like
did.
That body.
Go back and listen if
it was
you
good.
Haven't.
I did listen. It was great.
Yeah. All right. We're going to talk today.
And I was not offended by not being a part of that one.
Yeah.
We figured.
Well, you were offended about not being a part of our friendship podcast,
right.
But not this
yeah,
one.
The horror one. That's fine. I've got nothing for that.
All right. Now we're talking about young people. Ugh.
Yeah. Gross.
Let me start off by saying
there's nothing that makes us sound older than saying now we're going to talk about young people.
Let me start by saying get off my lawn.
That's yeah.
Right. Yeah.
What's the problem with kids these days?
Yeah. What is the problem with kids these days?
Oh, I don't know.
Yes, they're no longer. Sometimes they're incorrectly labeled millennials.
Ugh. Yeah, I'm a millennial.
Yeah,
kids
yeah.
are no longer millennials.
Yeah, millennials now have kids. So.
Some
yeah.
of them.
Yeah, you the two millennials I'm talking to right now have
yep.
kids.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yes, Jen. Z?
Is that what it is?
I think I'm hearing zennials or zennials.
Ugh, like, gosh. Yeah. What's wrong with us?
Like perennials?
A lot, yeah. Yeah. They come back up every year.
Yeah. Oh, no.
All right. This is from the Baptist News Network.
You know, the last one we did from the Baptist News Network was a real solid episode, so I'm looking forward to this. All right.
Which one was that?
Wasn't that Empathy? Wasn't
that was
Baptist
when we,
News?
Yeah, you weren't there for that one,
yeah.
At least. Oh. Yeah.
That's when
Baptist News Network is not a place I go to for Christian news. I don't know how. I just stumbled across this, you know. Like, but I think it's interesting. There's some There yeah. are some interesting stuff here, and they're talking about.
Yeah.
They're talking about a study, and we're talking about them talking about a study. So this
more
is
right,
yeah.
This is like a game of telephone, you know. So, and so if you talk about this with your friends, you know, it's
just keep it going.
Yeah, keep it going. All right, American young people report huge gaps between what matters to them and what appears to matter to the church. All right.
Sounds accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I often see huge gaps between what matters to me and what appears to matter to the church.
Yeah.
So do I now count as a young person?
I think
no.
We can lump ourselves in.
As a young, yeah.
I feel young.
No, no. David,
I'm a young person.
You're the oldest millennial I know.
That's fair, but I'm still a young person.
Age-wise.
Not age-wise. Temperament-wise.
It's true.
I know, but like age-wise.
Age-wise, I'm a young
we can
person.
Count.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. All right.
I feel like young cuts off at 37, so I'm still good, right?
I can get behind that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Fair enough.
Got another couple years. Sneaking
sorry,
out.
Patrick.
You know, I used to like.
I made that choice on purpose.
Try to diminish the age. Now I'm going to over say how old I am.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
People will be like,
I'm 57.
You look so good for your age.
You look great.
You're right.
Yeah.
I'm 74.
Right. You're like, you're so much energy.
Just
for,
really health conscious.
Yeah.
Yeah. My Popeye's cup right here. But yeah, really health conscious. Yeah. All right. This is from Springtide Research. From their survey, The State of Religion and Young People 2021.
Can I move to that state?
Sure. Yeah, go for it. You just got hired, so you're not allowed to leave
oh,
for
yeah.
a couple of years. Yeah. Young people in America do not believe churches care about the issues that are important to them by double-digit disparities, according to
I mean, that could be 10.
National
I know.
Survey release.
Double-digit isn't that big.
It's supposed to strike fear into your heart.
Right.
So just so we're clear, this is what they're surveying young people. So this
what do they define as young?
It's offensive.
They didn't take me.
So
right. It's offensive.
Whatever it is. I'm offended.
Yeah.
So, I think this is would be that generation. So I think this is what, like 23?
I mean, are they talking like...
And under?
So are they talking to high schoolers and middle schoolers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. And so this is like, what is important to you?
Mm-hmm.
And do you think that is important to the church? So they're not asking the church what's important to them.
Right.
They're asking, it's more of a perspective issue.
Are they asking what they think is important to the church?
No.
Okay. So they're just asking, do you think this is also important to the church?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
I'm ready.
So we've got some values gaps. So we're going to talk about these values gaps, and there's some interesting stuff here at the very end of this article too. All right. So first up, this is the biggest discrepancy between I care and they think the church cares.
Okay.
Okay. And that is LGBTQA plus rights. That's how it's labeled in the article.
I think you're missing an I, but okay.
There, yeah. I mean, that feels very accurate to me.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear. We haven't heard what they said.
77% of young people.
Okay, 77% of young people.
It matters to them.
All right.
They would say 44% of the church.
44% of them think it matters to the church.
Yes, think it matters to the church.
Yeah. That 44% goes to Lord of Life, so that's good. That's
yeah, we got all of them.
So that's a pretty wide gap between.
Yeah, that is. That's big.
Yeah.
You know, that's a 27% gap, so.
It would be hard to make an argument that those matters matter to the church based on the general rhetoric that we hear coming from the quote-unquote mainstream of Christianity.
Yep.
Not mainline Protestant, but mainstream of Christianity.
Yeah.
And the decisions that are being like made and upheld.
Sure. Yeah.
It seems to think if there's any obstacles placed in the way of LGBTQA rights,
mm-hmm.
it's most likely coming from a religious organization or person.
Yeah. Yeah.
From cake debates to gay marriage to even, you know, bathroom bills and laws.
Yep.
Almost always it's coming from a place
adoption
of,
stuff,
or adoption is coming from a place of religion that are the obstacles to overcome.
Yep.
So in some ways, I think the 44% is a little generous.
And even, I mean, we can look at the ELCA as kind of a demographic, right? Because that's what we're a part of. And, you know, it's been over 10 years since the ELCA said, yeah, we're going to openly ordain people who are in, at the time, it was lifelong same-gender monogamous relationships, right? It's now would be gay marriages, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was in 2009. And we still, I would say, as a denomination at large, are not doing a strong job of identifying and saying, like, hey, we really are welcoming and supportive and affirming of this process. Mm-hmm. And you know, part of that's because of our polity and, you know, wanting to be more congregationally based, but it's still really hard. And so you could even look at the ELCA and be like, yeah, they say this, but I'm not sure that we're really living into that in the way that's faithful.
Yeah. So even in our church, you know, if you are a gay or lesbian individual and you come to our church, I truly believe you'll be welcomed, you'll be accepted, but do you know that before you walk in the building?
Sure.
And that is the big question. Like, I don't know that we're doing a good enough job at like making sure that's known.
Yeah.
And so, and also that's really hard. How do you, how do you tell people you're good here without like making that the forefront of kind of who you are.
Right. And you don't really want to like showboat your basic human decency either, right? Like,
it shouldn't be a big deal to say.
Yeah, we don't get stars for being basically decent humans. Right. It just should be a thing. But I think that has to start at the top of an institutional setup. I don't, I'm forgetting the word and you can fix this in post, but.
He won't.
I know. But like sort of it needs to be, I hate trickle-down economics, but it should be like a trickle-down thing in this scenario, right? Like,
yeah, and I don't, yeah, I hear the disgust for trickle-down, but I think, you know, leadership starts from the top, right? And while there might be a groundswell movement that people come along with, you know, for a cultural change to really happen, they have to see that reflected in the leadership and until it's reflected there.
It's strongly. Yeah. I think maybe much more strongly from the top down than you need to put that responsibility on people at like the grassroots and ground level.
So that's one way that you know, we're seeing this kind of discrepancy that young people matters a lot. And I understand why it matters a lot to young people. I work with our young people at Lord of Life. For them, people being gay, lesbian, trans is a world that's they're very much in.
Yeah.
Like it's not something foreign or distant. Like their friends in school, like, you know, every class they go to has somebody who belongs to this community. So like they're in they're very much like in this community. And so when they see a peer, you know, have a very real reaction to bills, laws or exclusion, they're rightfully will be upset because they see it firsthand.
Yep.
I think I've said on the podcast before, when I went to high school, which was in the 90s, you know, gay people, lesbian people, they were a thing, but they seemed very, very far away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they were not close. And so it's easy to have an attitude of either A, it's not really that big of a deal because it doesn't affect me, or B, I have stronger conservative theological positions to hang my hat on when it's not close. You know, when it's close, it changes things.
It does.
And so it makes sense that this would be a big issue. So the most important issue for young people, though, is going to be racial justice.
Oh, okay.
81% report this as important. Yet only
to themselves?
To themselves. Okay. But only 60% perceive that the church cares about this issue. So more than gay rights, racial justice matters. They believe racial justice matters to the church.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about this?
Again, that feels generous to me.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, does it feel generous to me because I am steeped in, like, I'm just swimming in this stuff all the time and I'm always hearing, you know, from the other side, right? Like, is my bias skewed, right? Almost skewed to the negative.
Maybe it's where we are. Could it be like geographic?
Could be. I don't know. Sure. Yeah. I'm certain there is a certain amount of. I mean, if you just look at kind of the baseline of churches geographically, there's certainly going to be a division amongst southern churches versus northeast churches versus midwestern, etc. So that would certainly be a probable situation. I don't know where their sample. I don't know how broad their sample set is as far as covering geographic disparities. It feels generous. I think in part it feels generous because there's been so, maybe not from the leadership as much of congregations, but there have been so many instances where we have all witnessed people that we sit next to in the pews having such vicious responses to whether it's Black Lives Matter movements or whether it's just to police shootings in general or to other issues of racial justice, right? There's just been such vitriol that has come out from people that thank you. Yeah, I was saving it. From people who we've been sitting with and worshiping with for years. And if I were a kid and I were seeing this person that I had seen as like an aunt, uncle, grandfather type figure in the church for years, and suddenly this issue came up where I'm like, yeah, I have a black friend and I want them to be safe and cared for, and I want the police to do their job and do it well, and to sit in the middle of that, and this person was just claiming that they weren't spouting off hate, but were spouting off hate, it'd be hard for me to deal with. And I think that's what I see a lot, right? And not in this particular context necessarily, but just overall through the church, I'm hearing much more of this from the people in the pews than I am from the leadership of congregations. So I wonder if that's where that's coming from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, if you look at your average teen or young adult, their connection to the church is probably in the context of a youth group more than any other organization within the church.
That's a good point.
And I do think probably in a youth group, I mean, most youth directors, myself included, whenever things like this are happening in the news, like, let's talk about these things in an open forum. And since the majority of their peers are probably going to say this matters to them in those discussions, I think it's going to be easier to say, like, well, then this and the youth leaders addressing these things, I mean, and kind of like providing a platform to discuss and to learn, I think it would be probably easy to say, like, yeah, this seems like it matters. Now, you take those kids and you transplant them into other demographics within the church community, whether our church or the church across the street or, whatever church, they might walk away feeling very differently.
Yeah.
But I think that through that context of the lens that they see the church, this could be seems like something that matters a lot.
Yeah, and I think that is a helpful thing for us to remember, right? Because not every congregation or community is created equal either. Yeah. And so, I've had conversations with people who have grown up in congregations like Lord of Life or like where I did my internship or other places where these matters were talked about honestly and openly, and it was evident that they were important to them, and then they've gone off to try to find congregations of their own, and they're like, the stuff that I was told matters doesn't matter in these other places. Mm-hmm. And so I think that can cause a real disparity too for people where they're out in the real world and they're saying, I know that there are people who care about this, but that's not what I'm seeing now. And so now we say, well, the church doesn't care about this, but maybe this community does. And so we kind of have this division between the global church and our local community. And that can be hard too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think even in response to Black Lives Matter, there was a lot of Christian rhetoric. Mm-hmm. surrounding this, and even a lot of invoking of the civil rights movement, which was predominantly led by Christians. Like that was a big part. I mean, and also sometimes predominantly resisted by Christians. Yep. Yeah.
Both sides of that coin.
So I think that's a thing. Okay, so that was the number one issue for
the most important
people. Issue, according to this iCare. The second most important issue blows my mind. And not because it's not important. It's because I just didn't even really think about this. I'm going to be completely honest.
Like, as a kid or even now?
This would not have really been in my mindset of like, these are the important issues going on in our world. Do you want to guess what it is?
Climate change.
It's not climate change. Elise?
Ooh. Something that people think is super important.
Yeah. This is 80%. Racial justice was 81. This is 80%. So it's really right behind.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's not important. It's very important.
But you would not have thought of it.
It's just not really in my world. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gender equality?
Not gender equality.
That's definitely not in Patrick's world.
You're right.
I said 77%, I guess. This is actually disability rights.
Oh, okay.
So that this is something that matters a lot to young people. But again, this was not super on like kind of like my radar, or like is this something the church needs to be invested
so,
in? Like,
and this is me being kind of nitpicky on the survey. I wonder, you know, was it a list of things or like how high or how important is this to you? How important is this to you? How or like would you say this is important, or would you say this is, or was it what are things that are important to you? And they wrote it down.
Response,
Because I wonder, like, you know, if I saw a list, I mean, even now, right? If you were given a list and you were given a list of like racial equality, you know, LGBTQIA issues, and then disability, you know, rights, right? You'd probably put disability pretty high if you're given a list of that.
Yeah. I care about that.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Right. And so I wonder if there's some of that, like, as opposed to you having to like pick it out of thin air and be like, oh, there it is.
Yeah. It's not really a buzzword that we hear a lot right now.
It's really not. Right. And I think it's
ableism
not,
is increasingly a buzzword. Yeah.
But so they, this is at 80%. The youths would say
the youths,
58% think this is the church. It matters to the church.
How many?
58.
Yeah. I mean, look at how many churches don't have reasonable accommodations for wheelchair access or for people who are blind or people who have hearing difficulties. Look at how our worship services are not designed for people with any sort of sensory issues or for people struggling with autism or any other spectrum of things that might be going on. Even people with mental health. You know, if we, and I don't necessarily want to classify mental health within the disability parameter, but there are certainly elements of that. You know, we had veterans here at Lord of Life who had struggled with PTSD for years, and every year on Super Bowl Sunday, we used to have kids who would bang coffee pots at the end of worship to, you know, raise money. And you'd like, oh, we're going to bang this coffee pot and you're going to put money in it. We're going to give it a great thing. But they're like, hey, you're banging coffee pots and it's sending me into a PTSD episode because we're not thinking that way.
Sure.
And so I hear it. Like, it's not out of malice. It's out of ignorance that we're not thinking about these things.
I think 100%. And that's why it was not necessarily.
No, it was 60%.
On my radar is out of kind of ignorance of like, because I do not have to face those obstacles, it is incredibly easy to not think of them as obstacles.
Yep.
And to even think of like, how can we be accommodating? And I'd be like, well, look, we got this spot right there in the church. It's got a wheelchair spot right there.
Yep.
Right.
We did it.
Like, but we could never have someone in a wheelchair be an assisting minister at Lord of Life. Well, we could, but you can't go up to the altar in a wheelchair, right? Yep. I mean, we would have to completely reconfigure how we do worship to have someone in a wheelchair, even to have someone in a wheelchair be married. Right, we'd have to rethink how we do that because we usually have them walk up to the altar for part of that service. And
for sure,
I mean, there's lots of things that we are just not thinking through.
For sure, absolutely. You know, I do. You know, brings up the questions of like, if you are deaf at our church, what are your options? And maybe we have them, and I'm just ignorant of them.
Not for. I mean, we have hearing devices. You know, so if you're hearing impaired, we have like a little thing that you can wear. And I have had people who are hard of hearing who ask me to like make sure that I'm speaking out towards them as much as I can because they can read lips and that assists them. But yeah, for someone who's completely deaf, we don't have a viable option. I don't know sign language to offer, and like I couldn't.
Yeah.
That'd be fun to like preach and sign
just
at the same
learn time. It as you go. Yeah.
Just make it up.
Well, usually they not they usually have like a dedicated sign language person.
An interpreter. Yeah.
An interpreter, yes.
But I was just saying it would be fun to be my own interpreter.
Do you think you could do both things at once? I mean, I know people do.
Like,
but to
right
me,
now,
that feels
very
dangerous.
I absolutely right now could not do that.
Right.
But if I learned the language, maybe.
I took a semester of sign language in college. So.
Oh, so you're ready.
So Patrick's got it.
Yeah. Bacon, turtle, cat.
Turtle bacon.
Those are the ones that suck.
Is this cat's name, too?
This is just a cat because it's whiskers.
So Patrick's
Mother,
going to be.
Father. Grandmother, grandfather. So,
that's great.
Know.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's all I remember.
You use those words a lot in your sermon.
I do.
He's on it.
I definitely talk about turtle bacon.
Turtle bacon.
I'm ready.
Is you that in Ephesians?
That's right.
And I know, I'd say I would know 80% of the sign alphabet. So
80% of the alphabet.
I'm ready.
Don't give me any cues or
it's going to take him 4 hours to sign out your sermon.
Yeah, but I do think that's interesting. That's something that matters to young people.
Hey, we don't have an option for people who are deaf for this podcast either.
That is true.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Now we all feel super guilty.
We do.
Transcripts might actually be a good idea for us to look into. I've actually, several people have requested that.
Okay.
Anyway, we've actually had
business meeting after.
We've actually had people request transcripts of our,
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to type them up?
Yeah, you can type as we talk.
Except for intern.
That's pretty, I think this is a little sexist to both of us look at you and be like, how do you type, please?
Secretary.
It's really because you're the author.
Okay. I said it because you were the one who brought up the suggestion, and my go-to is say, sure. You bring up an idea, you get to do it. That's,
we'll believe that. Yeah.
All right, so we could talk about this list for forever. I mean, the ultimate takeaway for me is that the issues that matter most to young people, they perceive do not matter as much to the church.
Did they ask the question of what do they perceive as issues that matter to the church? Like, what do they...
According to this write-up, no.
that would be another fascinating question that I would love the answer to is, hey, young people, okay.
Youths.
You don't think these things matter to the church. What do you, like, from your perspective of the church,
what does matter?
What do you think that matters
ourselves
to the church? Yeah.
Maintaining
the structure I don't know that they would use the word orthodoxy, but probably maintaining like right practice or, you know, making sure that, you know, laws are followed or, you know, a certain, I think that would be fascinating to hear what they think about that.
Kind of depressing as well. I think it would be a wake up call.
I would love to have people do this for Lord of Life. Say, look at Lord of Life. You know, you people who are, even just people in our community, right?
Do like a survey with the youth group.
Yeah, Patrick, do a survey with the youth group.
I'll do a survey with the youth group.
At least this is your idea. Yeah, I'll
do
that one type. Okay. But, you know, to say like, okay, what's important to you and what do you perceive as being important to Lord of Life based on your involvement and based on what you're connected to? What do you perceive as being important to us?
Yeah, well, I think for me, the takeaway is also like, if we're looking to say like, how can we get the least church generation in some ways back in church, back to having relationships with Jesus, back to connecting to worship, to God, how do we do that? And if these are the things that matter to them, how can we as a church community at least say these things matter to us too? And how can we help them like use these things that matter to them to inspire real change in the world through faith-based means? And I think that this is, you know, an opening up of like what matters to young people. Well, I'm not sure orthodoxy matters. In fact, we're going to get into that here in a second as this thing goes.
Yeah.
Orthodoxy does not really matter.
Yeah.
What matters to young people, Christian community, doesn't super matter, unfortunately. And it may have mattered a lot to me when I was in high school. It may have mattered a lot to y'all when you were younger, but it just doesn't seem to matter according to these things. Like, it's just not really those issues that are drawing kids back to church.
Right.
So the next kind of section kind of we'll go through this, like, we do have a generation kind of shunning institutional religion, and this is kind of a trajectory that we've been on. So now I found it here, 13 to 25 year olds. That's their range.
Okay.
About 3/4 consider themselves to be at least slightly religious or spiritual. So 75% say slightly religious or spiritual, yet only 16% say they turn to someone from their faith community when feeling overwhelmed or unsure about something. So pretty low, about 1 in 6.
Yeah.
And even those who identify as very religious, only 40% do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's on us, right? I mean, that's on the community not taking the time to invest in them as people, right? Yeah. And I think this goes back to what you said originally, right? Right, is that the question is, well, a question is, how do we get these kids back? And I think even that implies that they were ever really here. And what this data is telling us is they were never really here.
Yeah.
Right? They might have been physically in the space, but they weren't here because we never connected them to this space, right? Mm-hmm. Why are they committed to a soccer team or to a band? Because they have people from that community who reach out to them on a daily basis, who care about them, who ask them how things are going, who sit with them through life, right? And, you know, do they have that in a church community? Have they had that in a church community since they were a kid, right? Did they show up for weeks as a kid going to Sunday school and have multiple adults saying, hey, Billy, how's first grade going? How'd your book report go last week? What's going on? You know, and did they have people who were connecting with them in that meaningful way so that those relationships were there and were positive? That's why I stayed connected at my church. I'm not saying it's, you know, the right answer or the only answer, but, you know, I stayed connected in my church because my family had those connections with people who were asking me how things were going every single week. And I don't think that we have done a good job of that. And so the kids, you know, the kids, the youths, you know, as they're aging up and they're, you know, getting into high school or into college, right, they're not necessarily being taken to church with their families, but they were never really connected to a church community. And so why would they be looking for that now? There was a book that I read when I was in college doing youth ministry stuff, and now I'm not going to remember the name of it, but maybe I'll look it up later. But essentially, it was talking about the things that kids need, and one of the things that kids need is committed relationship. Mm-hmm. And the author's point was like, the kids are going to find committed relationship, whether they find it from the drug dealer on the corner who's there without a doubt every day at 3 p.m., or if they find it from the church, right? Who's going to be committed to be there? Mm-hmm. And they're going to find that committed relationship one way or the other.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the things that's really shocking in this study is that in light of COVID, only 10% of kids said someone from their religious community reached out to them.
Ouch.
So I think we're seeing that. So, like, again, if we're saying, like, hey, when these kids are experiencing crisis, how come they're not turning to us? Because we're not there when kids experience a crisis. Yeah. Like, you know, like, if we're not intentionally putting ourselves in those positions, then what? Why would they?
Right.
You know, in a sense.
That's a piece of it. But I think that another piece of it is also negative experiences, like actively negative experiences with people from their faith communities.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think what we're seeing here, according to the study, too, is when it comes to this kind of like youth reach out from churches, like getting these kids into church, usually the only time we can do that successfully across the board is when conservative churches are going after conservative kids. Mm-hmm. They're able to make it work. But conservative churches going after liberal kids or liberal churches going after liberal kids, it's just not working.
Yeah.
You know, because I think we're just maybe speaking the wrong language. Maybe we're offering them something that they just don't want.
Well, I think liberal kids are much more, and now we're putting all sorts of labels on things, but I think that liberal kids would be much more skeptical of institutional church, liberal or otherwise, regardless, right?
Yeah.
And so, I think there is a language barrier there, but I think there's an opportunity for genuine connection if we get through that. The key is that relationship.
Yeah.
Or at least, I don't know, maybe not the key, but an element of that is the relationship.
Sure.
And having, you know, having the conversations with people to say, like, what you perceive as the church is not what we're trying to be about and is not, frankly, what Jesus calls us to be about, right? If we can be so bold as to say, like, what you perceive as the church is not what the church is supposed to be. And yeah, the church has gotten it wrong for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. When I was in college, the trendy thing, like, to critique religion was always to point back to the Crusades. I was like, yeah, I get it. The Crusades were awful. Like,
right.
The church should not have done the Crusades.
Also the Inquisition.
Right, the Inquisition right. was terrible. We shouldn't have, right? There, sure. Yes, the church has done horrible things. But that does not mean that that's what God and Jesus intended for the church to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have a chance to do something differently as far as moving forward goes. And, you know, we have that opportunity now, and you have that opportunity to experience life now.
Absolutely. And just for clear, every ethos or worldview has dark stains in their history.
No, it's just Christianity. We're the only one with dark stains.
Every one of them. All right. You know, the world was a pretty gross place. And in many ways, it
still is.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So the last part of this that I think is incredibly interesting is this idea that they're using to describe the religious attitudes of today's young people as faith unbundled. And I really like this. I don't necessarily really like this, but I think it puts it in a helpful way. So imagine when you were young and you wanted to buy a CD of your favorite music artist.
Yeah, right. This is a cassette tape in Patrick's
now,
case, but
that's
okay.
That's what I call music 13.
Yeah. Who was that for you in high school?
Who is what?
Your favorite music artist there.
Oh, I don't probably like Green Day or something like
Green
that.
Green Day. Yeah, that makes sense. Elise.
Santana.
Okay. All
right, nice.
All right. It probably would have been...
I'm just picturing, like, fishnet, like...
Oh, no, I wasn't...
...fearless gloves on you.
I wasn't, like, into, like, the whole
okay,
thing.
No
yeah.
eyeliner?
No,
okay.
No. I just like the music, yeah.
For me, Pearl Jam or Nirvana.
Oh, sure.
Like grunge style.
Yep.
Yeah.
So... So when we were that age and you wanted to buy that CD, you bought the CD, all of it, you know, and you listened to all of it, or you kind of just fast forward to the tracks that you really, really like. But for kids today, they don't do that, right?
No.
They have a Spotify.
Where would you even go to buy a CD?
Or even if they're buying it online to download, they're buying the songs they like from one artist and then putting it in a playlist with the songs they like from another artist, with the songs they like from the third artist, and it's all kind of one thing. And
it's
so
the greatest hits faith.
Yeah, it's the greatest hits. It's a now that's what I call faith, you know? Yeah.
2021.
I know,
that's what
I'm proud of that one.
Yeah,
and so that means that's what they're doing also with faith practices, are the ideas of faith. Of like, I go to Christianity, I like these three or four things. I'm taking that and I'm leaving the rest. Yeah. And I'm taking the three or four things I like that I hear from their Muslim or Hindu or, you know, quote unquote spiritual kids, and then taking that and leaving the rest. And so they have this kind of mixed mash of faith kind of going on inside them of like kind of like the greatest hits of faith for them individually. That's their greatest hits. And that's what their worldview. That's their belief system. And I think typically, historically, we kind of accepted all of it from the church. Some in some ways, warts and all.
Yeah.
You know, like,
take it or leave it.
Like we're all in this. You know, we're taking it all. It's all a part of our worldview. Even if I kind of personally am not whatever, or I dislike it, it's just always there.
Yeah.
So what do we think about this?
So I'm thinking of those giant bags of like mini chip bags, right? Where you like you buy the thing and it's got like the variety pack of all the different types of chips, and there's always the one right that nobody wants, right? The Bugles or the Sun Chips, whatever it is, right?
For me, it's the Cheetos.
The Cheetos.
I don't like Cheetos.
What is wrong with you? Anyway,
dusty fingers.
We don't have time to get into things that are wrong with Patrick right now. But so it's so.
I'll bring all my Cheetos to you.
I'll take them. So for me, it's like that, right? And even I like can say like, yeah, I would rather buy the bag of the thing that I like rather than buy a big bag and get stuck with a bunch of things I don't like.
Yeah.
And so I can understand that element. But the danger in this, right, is that sometimes the things that I don't like are the things that are really powerful and have motivation to change me for the better, right? You know, not in the case of Sun Chips, but in the case of religion and spirituality. It's far too easy for me to say, oh, that's hard. I don't like that part, right? You know, praying every day, oh, that's hard. I don't like that. Going to church and being a part of a committed community, I don't like that. That sounds hard. It's inconvenient. I don't want to do that. And so then you end up not actually being committed to anything. I think there are great things that we can pull from different faiths, right? I mean, there are things that we can learn from one another that are all valuable, and we should, you know, find ways to have those conversations. But the danger is that you ultimately end up not being genuinely committed to anything.
Yeah, I mean, I think I can appreciate the faith unbundled thing from the viewpoint of there are traditional implications and traditional approaches to pieces of Christianity and scripture that do not resonate with me, that I do not believe. So, like, I can appreciate that aspect of saying there's freedom to say, you know, I believe this as a whole, but I do not believe this traditional interpretation or application of this. So, like, I appreciate that aspect of it. But I see what you're saying as well, that, you know, ultimately you're going to end up real in the middle of everything.
Yeah,
sure. Which is not really a stance at all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's be honest. Probably there's not a lot of 13 to 25-year-olds who are in this listening to this podcast. maybe I'm wrong.
Write in.
Dial in, call. No, you don't like to call. Text.
Nobody's
text. Instagram us.
Yeah, snap in.
Snap in.
Send us a TikTok.
Yeah, send it. How would they even do that?
I don't know. Do a TikTok dance, and there we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do think we can acknowledge that's not necessarily how it's supposed to work.
Yeah.
But I think if we're going to our young people and just saying like that's not how it works, we're just old men and women yelling, get off my lawn.
Oh,
I mean, like, that's what it's going to sound like, you know? So it's how to speak against it in a language that makes sense and is understandable and in a way that is, you know, lack of better terms, attractive, you know? So,
and I don't think you go to young people and say, you're doing it wrong. Like, let me show you all the way. Like, no, you walk around alongside them and do life with them. Right. Yeah. I mean, this is what youth ministry has been for you for the last 8+ years that you've been here at Word of Life and beyond that. Right.
Yeah.
You do life with kids, you experience life with them. And then when opportunities present itself, you offer opportunities for them to experience something different that they probably wouldn't do on their own, right, to show them what, you know, that spirituality matters, right? Why do we take their cell phones away when we go on mission trips, right? Because they're probably not going to have that opportunity to experience life outside of technology on their own.
And they never would on their own put it away.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we say, hey, we're just not going to have it. And we're all going to commit to this together to not have this thing. And it's hard and they might not like it, but then they see value in it at the end because they were able to connect with one another in a more meaningful way.
Yeah.
You know, why do, you know, most of these kids probably, I don't know, maybe this is unfair, but probably don't have a daily practice of prayer. But when we're on a mission trip, we have a daily practice of devotion and prayer. We have a daily practice of gathering in a small group. We have an opportunity for worship and Bible study, right? These are practices that we introduce to them, not to say, oh, you're doing it wrong, but to say, look, what you think this is about doesn't have to be what this is about. And this has the power to offer a change in your life for the better. right? Mm-hmm. Not to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise forever, but to open your eyes to what real life is supposed to be when we're living into the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, I have had kids on trips, like, say, I hope you're taking my cell phone away.
Yeah.
And I've had kids on trips. I've said, like, hey, you know, I have kids that help me plant things. I'm like, hey, we're going to do the vans. You know, should I assign vans or should I just let y'all pick? And kids have told me, like, you need to assign vans mm-hmm. or else I will just sit with my friends. Yep. And I do not want to do that.
Yep.
But, like, when the time comes to get in a van,
I know what I'll do.
I cannot not sit with my friends.
Right.
You know, like, but they're like, if you put me in a van with other people, I want to get to know them. I want to talk to new people. But you have to make it happen because I will not choose it.
Yep.
Like, and so I think that's interesting. So I said lastly, but there's actually one last.
That's why I put Patrick in a new office every week so that he meets new people because he won't do it on his own.
Right.
Dirty up a new office.
Right. It's like a lot
don't
of work.
Don't bother cleaning this one. Just go to a new one.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think this last bit kind of helps us reframe of like, okay, so if traditional, what we're doing traditionally isn't working and kids are not super into it and they don't think we're into what they're into.
Right. Well, I'm not into TikTok, so I can't
right. fault them there. It's maybe not wrong.
We could make you a TikTok.
Sure.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
You could learn some TikTok dances.
TikTok star. You could do the thing where you're like pointing at phrases.
Oh yeah, I've
music.
Seen this. And I like do a hand thing and like yeah.
let's you know where brainstorm
I saw that on Meta. That's where I saw that.
Oh the new no. Facebook.
Yeah.
Go away. All right. That, you're definitely not reaching any of the kids. We're talking about Facebook stuff.
Saw it on MySpace. That's
all right. So young people are more likely to engage with art as a spiritual practice
sure.
than prayer.
Okay.
So if we're a church that doesn't have art as a spiritual practice, maybe we're missing out on engaging young people.
Sure. And me. That's, wait, no, that's backwards. Yeah.
And it may not be how I connect to God because it's not.
Yeah.
But saying like, because I don't connect to God or because the majority of us who do church don't use art regularly.
Maybe we
see. Well, I mean, use art as a spiritual okay. practice.
Would you prefer him to say, don't do art? Is right. that better? Those of us who don't art regularly.
We don't art.
Yes, well, our Father art's in heaven. So.
It's the only time I art.
So we know God's all about art. Young people are more likely to engage in yoga and martial arts as a spiritual practice than attend a religious group.
Martial arts.
Yoga I've done and seen experience in that way. Yeah. I don't know anything about martial arts, so I have no
tai
opinion
chi?
On that.
Is that what we're talking about?
I think it's just kind of
kickboxing.
You know, a discipline of repetition.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, a mental framework
sure.
attached to a physical activity.
It's not like that unsimilar from a labyrinth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is like the monk
sure.
prayer
labyrinth. We have a prayer labyrinth here at Lord of Life.
We do. There's a lot of mosquitoes down there.
bring your bug spray. What do you want me to do about mosquitoes? You put it next to a lake. I don't know what we're supposed to do here.
I didn't put it there.
Yeah. Young people are... Well, young people are more likely to practice being in nature or meditation as spiritual practices than study of religious text. So, I mean, for me, I think this is kind of like if we're looking to draw in younger people, and I hope every church is, including
mm-hmm.
us,
mm-hmm.
well, sometimes we have to ask ourselves some hard questions of like, do we want to draw in kids to be exactly like me?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we need to adapt and change a little bit and do things make me a little uncomfortable for the sake of somebody else? And we've talked about this on the yeah. podcast, and I think that this is kind of what church should look like in many ways of like, how can we be different to draw in new different things?
Yeah. Let me be clear though, I think I'm pretty great, so more people should be like me.
Wow.
Just say it.
Yeah.
No, I hear that. And yeah, challenging ourselves, right? The challenge always has to start with ourselves.
Yeah.
And if we're not willing to challenge ourselves and make ourselves uncomfortable, we can't expect them to be open to challenging themselves
for sure, and
do something that they're uncomfortable doing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not enough to say like, well, why don't kids just come to church, to the church service I like,
right.
to
right.
do the things I've been doing for the last mm-hmm. 50 years. Why don't kids just jump into that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
so part of my background is in experiential education, right?
Ooh.
Which is this idea of you learn best through hands-on experiences
okay.
and tangible experiences. So to me, this sounds like a great opportunity for integration. Instead of saying, I don't want you to have a spiritual practice that involves the outdoors or that involves yoga, I just want you to pray and read the Bible. Why not say, yeah, it can be both.
Mm-hmm.
Integrate both
mm-hmm.
together. Mm-hmm. You know, let's bring in the yoga and the wilderness experience, you know, into the church and combine that with spirituality.
Yeah. Yeah. And yoga in particular, I mean, and you'll get a lot of pushback from certain branches of Christianity because yoga does not have its roots in Christianity, right. but it has its roots deeply in spirituality.
Yeah.
And that's easily, I don't mean to offend, you know, genuine yogis or anything like that, but it's easily modified to be a Christian spirituality, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. to embrace that as yeah. part of the practice. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And it's not that hard to read the Bible outside. Come on.
Right.
You've got it on your phone.
Right.
You don't even have to answer the calls from the people who are trying to find you. You can just ignore right. them and you can keep reading your Bible.
That's what the hiker was doing. Yeah. Reading his Bible the whole time.
I can't answer my phone call.
I'm in my deep spiritual practice right now. Yeah. Maybe he was hanging out with some yogis too.
Probably.
Maybe.
Yogi Bear. Yeah. Hey, boo boo. Let's go find a picnic basket.
Oh, boy.
Are we done?
I think we're good. Okay. I think we've devolved enough.
Once I start doing my Yogi Bear,
right.
not to be confused with my Yogi Berra, which I can't do, but he's anyway. All right. Hey, if you liked this episode or any of our material, you can find us all at BeyondSundayPodcast.com. Be sure to like, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast listening device. Send us out to your friends, colleagues, those who are in the 13 to 25-year-old bracket. If you know people in that area, have them listen to this episode. We'd love to hear what they think. Or do a TikTok video of this. Apparently, that's how the kids are doing things these days. So...
Hey, youngins.
And with that, yeah, send us an email and stay off our yard. That's all I got. Yeah.
See this ball now? I keep it. All right.
This is my ball.
It's my backyard for the last time.
That's right.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.